This is Vatican Radio, and I'm Susie Hodges. How can the international community achieve greater collaboration in combating the crime of human trafficking, in which millions of people are traded as slaves? That's the main aim of a workshop on human trafficking taking place in the Vatican this weekend that's been attended by international experts in this field. The two-day event has been organised by the Pontifical Academies of Science and of Social Sciences, following a wish expressed by Pope Francis. Among the participants is Dr. Anne Gallagher, a leading global authority on international law regarding human trafficking. A human rights lawyer and UN advisor, Gallagher has received several awards for her anti-trafficking work. She spoke to me about the recent tragedies involving migrants trying to reach Europe and the overlapping problem of human trafficking.
Well, I think my first reaction is relief that there is at last some measure of international attention to the exploitation and the misery that comes with global migration trends, particularly at this end where people are so desperate to move that they will make the kinds of decisions that you and I would never be forced to make.
So you think that these tragedies could lead to a real change in how countries tackle this problem?
Well, I'm very much hoping. I think that the more that's out there, the more that's in the spotlight about the reality of current global migration, I think the more that governments and communities will really feel compelled to act.
You're among the participants at an international conference on human trafficking being held in the Vatican. What would be the main thrust of your intervention, and what do you hope this conference will achieve?
My great hope, and I'm also hoping that I'm not being truly too ambitious, is that this is the chance for some real moral leadership on an issue that, unfortunately, to date has lacked that kind of leadership. So Pope Francis has come out very clearly and said that what's happening around human trafficking, the exploitation of human beings for private profit, is wrong and is in fact a shame on all of us. And these are the kinds of things that I think we all know, but really have not been said so clearly before. So I'm hoping this is the beginning of what I said, real moral leadership from someone who exercises enormous influence over so many people.
Your work focuses on the need for a strong criminal justice response to this problem of trafficking, one that both ends the impunity of the traffickers and also secures justice for the victims. What progress has been made in this field in the area of your expertise, which covers Australia and the ASEAN countries?
I think I can give you an optimistic and a pessimistic response to that.
Both of them, then.
Okay, the optimistic one is that trafficking is now recognised as a crime. So the exploitation of one human being by another human being for profit is now recognised to be a crime. And that might sound really simple, but in fact, 10 or 15 years ago when I started working in this area, that wasn't a crime in almost any country. So now all countries in Southeast Asia, Australia, the United States, all the countries of Western Europe have recognised that this kind of exploitation, moving someone into a situation of exploitation or maintaining them in that situation, is a crime, and it has to be dealt with like other serious crimes. It can't be shoved aside as some sort of social welfare or public order problem.
Okay, you said that it's now recognised as a crime, but you'd also talked about the pessimistic side. How many people are actually being brought to trial, being punished?
Okay, I can also add a bit more that the criminal justice response has been strengthened in many countries. So it's not just legislation that's changed, but specialist investigation units have been set up. Prosecutors are being made aware. Judges are being, I think, encouraged to actually adjudicate these cases quickly and fairly. So that's the progress. But unfortunately, we still see that things are not moving quickly enough. Traffickers are still able to conduct their activities with virtual impunity. Quite often that's because of corruption or complicity on the part of government officials. So we are seeing increased prosecutions, and we are seeing some victims being rescued and securing justice for the crimes committed against them, but it's still too little, too few, and often too late.
Is the number of people who are being trafficked each year increasing or decreasing?
I very much doubt that there's any decrease. The figures are very slippery. This is a covert activity, so it's very difficult to get concrete figures, and And I think we should be suspicious of those who come to us with very firm figures about the number of people being exploited. Certainly there's a greater awareness, and that means trafficking is being uncovered more quickly and more readily than ever before. But I do think we have to face the fact that the way that the global economy is going, the increasing movement of people without protection, the increasing demand for low-cost labour, it's very likely that this kind of exploitation is probably getting worse.
And of the things that these people end up doing when they are trafficked and become basically human slaves, it's not just the sexual exploitation of women and children, which perhaps is perhaps the largest proportion, isn't it? But there's also many forms of bond labour, forced labour. Can you tell us something about that?
Well, I would actually argue that sexual exploitation is probably not the largest segment of exploitation associated with trafficking. This is where a lot of the attention was first put, because sexual exploitation is very visible. It gets a lot of attention from the media. Governments are quite often more willing to respond to trafficking into the sex industry. But I think one of the great changes over the last decade, particularly over the last 5 years, has been a recognition that trafficking for forced and exploitative labour is a huge problem. In Southeast Asia, I think it's, we're talking about millions of people. And I would say that in other parts of the world, we're probably also talking in those kinds of figures. And as you said, it's bonded labour, people who are compelled to pay off debts that they'll probably never pay off, this idea of debt bondage, which is how you hold someone captive without the need for locks or fences or chains. It's very clever, and it's very insidious, and it's in every country.
Now, I know you've won a number of prestigious awards for your work to combat human trafficking, but what have been some of the most memorable or inspirational individual cases that you've come across involving the victims of trafficking that you can share with us?
Perhaps one of the ones, a more recent one, but it really sticks in my mind. I was very fortunate to receive an award from Secretary of State Clinton for my work on trafficking. And at the same time, she gave an award to a young Cambodian fisherman. He'd been trafficked onto a fishing boat. He lived on that boat for 4 years. He was trapped on that boat for 4 years before he was able to swim to shore, where he was once again put into a trafficking situation on a rubber plantation in Malaysia. He finally escaped. He went back home to a family that barely recognised him, and to a child who'd never seen him. He rebuilt his life there, and he's an artist, and he now spends his time trying to raise awareness about the dangers of migration to his community. And he's just a fisherman, I think, who never wanted anything more than to make a better life for his family. And he suffered so terribly, and he's doing something with that suffering. And I felt quite small beside him.
And what made you first decide to specialise in this particular field of human rights?
Well, I feel very fortunate in that respect too. I was working at the United Nations as a human rights lawyer, and Mary Robinson, the former president of Ireland, came to take up her position as the High Commissioner for Human Rights. And very soon into her position, her job at the UN, she came across human trafficking in Eastern Europe and also in Southeast Asia during her travels. And she asked me to work with her on this issue, which at that time, that was in the late 1990s, was very much under the radar. And I really credit Mary Robinson as the High Commissioner for Human Rights for really pushing an agenda that was based on human rights, an agenda that put the victim at the centre of responses. And that work is really starting to bear fruit.